Hi. Well, first of all, what a fantastic day we've had already. Isn't this just been incredible with the worship and the words that we've been given? It's just, and then Clive and Madfie getting their blessing thing. It's just like, cool. I'm just so excited to be here, you know. Now, you know, the one thing that's really good about these two is that now they have a new identity. They are now a Mr. and Mrs. identity instead of an individual identity. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, is the combining of their identities, the combining of their inheritances. Now, we've heard in the past few weeks from Jill and from Julie about our inheritance, and we've seen Dorothy's messages in the e-news about our inheritance. And so we've heard Sabina and Ian also talking about living in the until seasons, until the inheritance actually becomes ours, okay? So how do you do that? How do you live in the until? One of my favorite old Dick Van Dyke TV series episodes was when his wife, Laura, wanted to become a writer of children's books. And she went to her husband, and he was a professional writer. And so she wants advice from him on how to do this. And so he goes into this long, drawn-out, esoteric treatise on how to write books, you know, how to timing, how to cadence the phrases in the book so that it captures their attention. And she says, okay, well, how do you do that? You know, she's just all ears. She's really ready to receive from him. And then he responds with more gobbledygook and more psychobabble language about capturing the audience's attention. And she says, okay, well, how do you do that? And again, more double Dutch talk about the mechanics of writing. And looking very frustrated, she once again says, okay, well, how do you do that? And sometimes we get like that in our spiritual life. We get this frustrated look on our faces and go, well, how do you do that? How do you get through these times while you're waiting for the miracle to happen? How do you get through these until seasons where nothing seems to be moving or changing or happening? Dorothy said in a recent e-newsletter, she says, we hear people saying things like, just hold fast, my brother, or let go and let God, or keep the faith, or give it to the Lord. And we go, okay, which is it? Do I let go or do I hold on? Do I keep it or do I give it? What, you know, what am I supposed to do here? And then, then we get to hearing things like, well, maybe it wasn't God's will. Maybe that wasn't God at all. Maybe you just made all this up in your own head. And then we take those thoughts on board and we start saying them out loud. Well, maybe it wasn't God's will for me to be healed. Well, maybe that wasn't God at all. Well, maybe I just made it all up in my own head. Do you ever hear those thoughts? Do you ever hear those things? Yeah, of course we have. Now, Colin asked this a few weeks ago. He says, what was the first thing that Satan said in the garden? Did God say? Uh-huh. Did God say? And the Living Bible says it like this. Really, he asked, none of the fruit in the garden? God says you mustn't have any of it? And that's been his main tactic ever since. Did God really promise you health? Did God really promise you prosperity? Did God really promise your children safety? Or did you make all that up in your own head? After all, God works in mysterious ways, and you can't possibly know what's in his mind. Even the Bible says that his ways are higher than your ways. So who are you kidding? God didn't say any of that. Not to you anyway. Who do you think you are? Do we hear that? Do we feel that? I got up this morning thinking, who do you think you are going up there and preach? You know, it's like, shut up. I know who I am. Be quiet. Now, the word says, and it is true, that the Bible does say that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. However, You got to know who that was speaking to. That was speaking to the unredeemed people. When you are redeemed, we get the mind of Christ. Okay, so whenever that thought comes to you, you can say, shut up. Just shut up. And guess what we do? We take that stuff on board. We swallow that baloney, hook, line, and sinker. So we get into we let these seasons of until become seasons of doubt. We start second guessing both God's intentions and our positioning within the body of Christ. So the battle's lost almost before it's begun. And we start this, what I call squirrel cage thinking. Oh dear, I'm not going to get healed. God wants me to suffer for his sake. I'm just going to get sicker and sicker until I can't work, and then I'm going to lose my job, and then the bills are going to pile up, and the bank is going to call the mortgage due, and we'll go under, and we'll lose the house, and we're going to be living on the street for crying out loud, and winter's coming on, and we're just going to get sick and sick, and we're all going to freeze, and we're all going to get pneumonia, and nobody's going to care, and we'll just wind up in the A&E with no money, and we'll just all give up and die. Do you ever get that? Do you ever get that kind of squirrel cage thinking? You know, well, if this happens, then this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and then I'm going to die. That's always how those thoughts from the enemy end up, in death. What do the thoughts from God end up in? Life. That's right. We hear all these things, these lies from the enemy, and then we start repeating them to ourselves. We start repeating them to our family in the form of worry. And sometimes prayer request after prayer request after prayer request. Then we give up on God because, after all, just who do you think you are? What makes you think God gives two hoots about you? Did God actually say you were anything special? Well, I thought not. You ever hear that? Yeah, I do. Well, I'm here to tell you today who you are. I want to make a deposit into your faith accounts this morning. For the Bible says that out of the treasure of your heart, your mouth speaks. I'm going to give you some ammunition to be able to withstand that attack of the enemy. There's a verse in Isaiah 59 that says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." That's Isaiah 59:19. Now, that's a really good verse. But I've always read it without the punctuation. And it sounds like this. When the enemy shall come in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. Like the flood of Noah washed the earth clean, the flood of the Spirit is going to knock that enemy right out of the ballpark. So don't think that the enemy is going to flood in against you. It's the Spirit of the Lord that's going to flood against him. Okay? Now, you got that? Okay. And I want to flood your hearts and your minds and your spirits this morning with some verses from God's own heart that should settle once and for all how you get through these until seasons, who you are. Okay? Now, I'm going to give these to you this morning as prophecy, just as though God himself was saying these words to you, for they do come straight out of Scripture. And I want you to let these verses renew your mind. Okay? You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Period. You are alive with Christ. Period. You are free from the law of sin and death. You are free from oppression and fear doesn't come near you. You are born of God and the evil one does not touch you. You are holy and without blame before him in love. How many of you feel all the time like you're holy and without blame? I mean, that's what the word says. I mean, you are holy and blame without him in love. So we have to renew our mind to believe that, to accept it. You have the mind of Christ. Like I said earlier, only the unredeemed man can't think like God. But once you are redeemed, you have the mind of Christ. You have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You have the greater one living in you, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You have received the gift of righteousness, and you reign as kings in life by Jesus Christ. You have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, because the eyes of your understanding has been enlightened. You have received the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues, and you have the power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. You have put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him who created you. And that happened a few weeks ago when Clive and when Anthony were baptized. They came up out of that water, new people, new creations. You have given week after week, month after month, year after year, sometimes decades after decades. You have given, and it is given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. You have no lack, for God supplies all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to your need, but according to his riches. Now, how rich is God? How rich is rich? I mean, are you rich if you're a hundredaire or a thousandaire or a millionaire or a billionaire or a gazillionaire? Or are you rich like God? Which are you? How rich is rich? You have no lack, for God supplies all of your needs according to his riches. You can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one with your shield of faith. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You show forth the praises of God who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are God's child, for you are born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. There's a man called Peter Barnes. He's an apostolic minister in South Africa. And he was speaking with a young homosexual man who claimed he was born that way. But he wanted out of that lifestyle, but couldn't figure out how to do it because he was born that way. And Pastor Barnes replied, "Well, it's real simple. If you were born that way, you just need to be born again. Born into a completely different life, born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Born again. Were you born fat? Yeah. But I am born again, and God bless me, I'm getting skinny. Thank you, Jesus." Forgot where I am. I just get so excited about that. Thank you, Lord. I am God's workmanship. I am created in Christ unto good works. I am a new creature in Christ. I am a spirit being alive to God. And these are all things that apply to you as well. You are a believer, and the light of the gospel shines in your mind. You are a doer of the word, and you are blessed in your actions. You are a joint heir with Christ. Just like Clive and Madfi now are joint heirs together, joined together, joint heirs, joint in inheritance, we are joined together with Christ in his inheritance. And I think Jill maybe have said a few weeks ago, it's usually the survivor who receives the inheritance. Well, in this case, it's the other way around. It's the one who died, Jesus, who received the inheritance, but when he was brought back to life, guess what? We get to inherit all that stuff with him. Hallelujah. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You are a partaker of his divine nature. Can you get that? That's hard to wrap my head around. You are an ambassador for Christ, as Sabina taught us a while back. You are part of a chosen generation. a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own. Now, a temple is a dwelling place. It's the abiding place. It's where the Holy Spirit lives. It's where the Spirit of God dwells, where he abides, where he has his home. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. I found that set of scriptures in Deuteronomy 28 when I was a very young Christian. And I just fell in love with that whole passage. You know, all of the you are's and where you are and the head and tail, and blessed in your coming and blessed in your going and blessed in your storehouse and blessed in your bank account and your fields and your cattle and everything else. And the reason that those verses were so powerful and so meaningful to me was because my family, my birth family, lived under a poverty spirit for many, many generations. Even my maiden name, McNally, means son of a poor man. And I had to really fight against that poverty spirit. I had to stand on those verses. I had to stand on them. I had to claim them. Every time a bill came due that we didn't have the money to pay for, I had to stand on those verses and say, I will be blessed in my bank account. I will be blessed in my coming and my going. I will be blessed. I will be blessed. I will be blessed. And I stood on those verses until I wound up being the very first one in my family to ever buy a new car. I was the first one in my family to ever travel internationally. I was the first one in my family to ever work in ministry. I was the first one in my family to ever come to a foreign country to live. I am blessed in my coming and going. And you are the same thing. You are blessed in your coming and going. You are blessed in your storehouse. You're blessed in your cattle, in your children, in your families, everywhere else. You are blessed. You are above and not beneath. You are the light of the world. Jesus said he was the light of the world, but when he comes and lives inside of us, guess what light it is that shines out of us? It's him. But we are to stand there and shine. You are the light of the world. You are his elect. We got the time of elections coming up. Guess who elected us? Who elected us? God elected us. You are his elect. You're full of mercy. You're full of kindness, humility, and long-suffering. You are forgiven of all your sins, and you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are delivered from the power of darkness, and you're translated into God's kingdom, as Ian keeps reminding us. And that every time I hear him or watch him do that thing, you know, it reminds me of Star Trek and the transporters, you know, when you're over here and all of a sudden the transporter beam starts up and it goes, and then next thing you know, they're over here in someplace else, and they go, that's how we are. We've been translated, transported out of the kingdom of darkness and transported right back into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. So whenever you hear that verse, I want you to think of being transported. And okay, praise the Lord. You are redeemed from the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty. You are redeemed, bought back. That no longer has any power over you. It no longer has any power in your life. You've been redeemed from that. You are firmly rooted and built up and established in your faith and overflowing with gratitude. You are called of God to be the voice of his praise. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. You are raised up with Christ and seated in heavenly places. You can't be seated down here underneath all of this junk and be seated with Christ in heavenly places at the same time. You can't do that. You can't be in two places at once. So either you're sitting here underneath the power of all this stuff, or you're seated in heavenly places far above all principalities and powers. Now you have to decide which one you are, okay? You are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Not according to your weakness, but according to his power. How powerful is God? How powerful is he? Is he powerful enough to take you out of this mess? Yes. So it's not according to your weakness. You are strengthened with his power. You are submitted to God, and the devil flees from you because you resist him in the name of Jesus. You press on toward the goal to win the prize that Christ is calling you upward to. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You get to thinking, oh, I can't think anymore. My brain is just fried. I got up the other morning and I started to go to Bible study. I got out to the end of my street and I'm going, now, wait a minute, where was I going again? And that afternoon, I was getting ready to go to my Weight Watchers meeting. I get out to the end of my street and I went, now, wait a minute, where was I going again? And then I thought, shut up. I know where I'm going. You're not here to confuse me. I'm here to confuse and confound you. So shut up. Hallelujah. It is not you who live, but Christ who lives in you. You are greatly loved by God. You are so greatly loved by the Lord. You are in His heart. You are His heart and soul. We sing that song sometimes that the one of the lines in the verse is, we are here for you. We are here for you, Lord. We're here to worship you. We're here to bless you. But in the same vein, the Lord is saying, we are here for you. We, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are here for you. We are here to love you. We are here to encourage you. We are here to strengthen you. We are here to bring you up out of the mess and to translate you down into the kingdom of light. And this is the way that we overcome the enemy, by knowing who we are and whose we are and where we are. We are in Christ. And when we're faced with an ungodly attack, whether it's sickness or lack or in our relationships, whatever it is, we go to the throne and we ask for help in time of trouble. Then we stand on these promises. We stand. We stand there, planted firmly on them, never wavering, never moving to the right or left. But you stick like super glue to the Word of God. You follow 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience, to the anointing. That's what the word Christ means. It means the anointing, the anointed one and His anointing. You act in accordance with the full weight of the anointing. Well, what is that? What is the anointing? Now, I want to read this to you out of Isaiah 61 from the International Children's Bible, because it's got such plain language in it, you can't hardly misunderstand. I mean, you've really got to work to misunderstand this. And I'm going to read this again to you like it's prophecy for you, okay? The Lord God has put His Spirit in you. This is because He has appointed you to tell the good news to the poor. He has sent you to comfort those whose hearts are broken. He has sent you to tell the captives that they are free. He has sent you to tell the prisoners that they are released. He has sent you to announce the time when the Lord will show His kindness and the time when our God will punish evil people. He has sent you to comfort the sorrowing people of Jerusalem. That's God's people. And because you do these things, because you mind and obey these things and go out and talk to the people who really need you, God then says, because you've done this, I will give them a crown to replace their ashes. I will give them the oil of gladness to replace their sorrow. I will give them clothes of praise to replace their spirit of sadness. And then they'll be called trees of goodness. They'll be like trees planted by the Lord and will show His greatness. They'll rebuild the old ruins. They'll build up places that have been destroyed long ago. They will repair the ruined cities that have been destroyed for so long. My people, foreigners will come to tend your sheep. Who tends the sheep but the shepherds? Who are the shepherds? Your leaders. Who are the foreigners? Ian and Sabina from New Zealand. Who are your shepherds? Julian Costas, he's from Greece. Florence is from Pakistan. I'm from the U.S. Foreigners will come and be your shepherds and tend your sheep. People from other countries will tend your vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named the servants of our God. You will have riches from all the nations on earth, and you will take pride in them. Instead of being ashamed, you will receive twice as much wealth. Instead of being disgraced, you will be happy because of what you receive. You will receive a double share of the land, so your happiness will continue forever. The Lord says, I love justice. I hate stealing and everything that's wrong. I will be fair and I will give my people what they should have. I will make an agreement with them that will continue forever. Everyone in all nations will know the children of my people, and their children will be known among the nations. How many of us have got kids that we don't think are going to make it? How many of us despair sometimes over our children and their welfare? How many of us are afraid for our kids today, especially today, in the world that we live in? God says, because you do what I tell you to do, everyone in all nations will know the children of my people, and their children will be known among the nations. And anyone who sees them will know that the Lord blesses them. This is what the anointing is for. Not to be defeated, not to be wishy-washy and swayed around by every squirrel cage thought that comes along the pike. Oh, well, maybe God doesn't want me healed. Maybe God doesn't want me prosperous. Maybe God doesn't want me blessed. No, the anointing comes to bring you victory. Now, you don't have victory yet in some area? Don't despair about it. Don't despair. Look how long it took for David to step up into the anointing that he received. He was anointed king when he was 17 years old. It was decades before he actually got to the throne. But he was still anointed. You are anointed. You are anointed of God. You are anointed of the Holy Spirit. When you received Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit came in just as well, and that means the anointing dwells in you. You are anointed. And the anointing brings victory. In Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest, he describes an extended vision of the last battles of earth. And one scene in that book is where the believer takes the sword of God and he jams it hard into the ground where God has placed him. He lashes himself to it. And he faces the whole onslaught of the enemy army. But he's not moved. He's not swayed. He remains steadfast, firmly rooted and grounded, so that the enemy cannot advance any further. This is how you get through the until seasons. You know without a shadow of a doubt what God has promised you. You find out in the Word what He's promised you and you stand on Him. You plant the word of God on the ground where God has placed you, and you bloomin' well stand there. You look that enemy square in the face, and you double dog dare him to try to accost you further again. Because you know that you are backed up by the word of God, the very word that defeated him time and time and time again, the very word that made an open and public spectacle of his defeat. The very word that was made manifest in the flesh, and that's Jesus. Now you think you can't do that? You think you're too weak? You think it's not possible for you to overcome? Well, I've got a video that I want to show in a second. Maybe you can't do that in your own strength, but I want you to watch this video. It's from a Canadian choir, that's why she's speaking French. Now, who's going through an until season right now? Who's waiting on a promise from God to come to fruition? Who's living in that place where justice is needed? Who's grieving and full of sadness in their spirit? Who feels ashamed and disgraced? Who feels like their dreams are in ruins? Who feels like their hearts are broken and no one cares? Who feels like they're being held prisoner, captive to outside forces? Well, I'm here to tell you that the Anointed One and His anointing is here. He said that where two or more are gathered in His name, He would be there. So He is here. The anointing is here to break every yoke, to fulfill every promise, to raise you up, to make you the head and not the tail, to give you a future, a blessed hope, to hold your hand and to carry you while you're going through those until seasons. Now, if any of these things have described you, don't you dare leave here today without getting prayer. Don't you dare leave today without touching the anointing. Don't you dare walk out of here unhealed, unblessed,